This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. In 1881, Booker T. Washington established the Tuskegee Normal School for Colored Teachers. The school was supposed to educate its students and also set up a legacy of sorts. Washington was concerned about educating younger African Americans, thinking it's the best way for them to make better lives for themselves through education. Well, in 1912, he reached out to philanthropist Julius Rosenwald and shared a plan to build schools for African American children. And together, they created a program that eventually led to the creation of thousands of so-called Rosenwald schools in the South, 800 of them right here in North Carolina. There's an exhibit at Mars Hill University's Rural Heritage Museum that examines the historical impact of those schools in Madison County. Joining us from WCQS in Asheville is Rural Heritage Museum Director Les Raker. Hello, Les.
Hello.
Tell us a bit about, first of all, about this partnership between Booker T. Washington and Julius Rosenwald.
Well, it's a very interesting partnership. We all probably read Up from Slavery in high school, and that was a very, very important book. Booker T. Washington, as you know, was a former slave, and when he was a slave, he would carry, according to his stories, carry the books of his master's daughter to class and really became enthralled with the reading and all of that and education. And he felt that was the only way he could really get out of his predicament. But he was a slave, and slaves were not allowed to learn to read. But after emancipation, he did learn how to read rather soon, and then attended a school in Virginia called the Hampton Institute, was a real star pupil, and after that became appointed to the Tuskegee Institute as their headmaster. But along the way, after the latter part of the 20th century, we come to Julius Rosenwald. And Julius Rosenwald became the CEO of Sears Roebuck. After Mr. Sears and Mr. Roebuck sort of faded from the scene, it was a relatively small company then, and he accelerated it quite a bit into the giant that we know of as it became in the first part of the 20th century. He became a man of great means and also a philanthropist, Julius Rosenwald. He established what was called the Rosenwald Foundation that applied funding to a number of groups and organizations throughout the country. He read Up from Slavery, eventually met Booker T. Washington, was very impressed with his philosophy of education, particularly as Booker T. saw a vocational element for African Americans as being a way to make their way in the world, in this new world after emancipation, to learn a trade. And so they got together basically with Booker T.'s guidance and established a model of schools in Alabama where there would be a vocational element along with classical learning in the schools. And to make a long story a little bit shorter, with the foundation, school districts throughout the former Confederacy could apply to the foundation for a matching grant to build what came to be known as Rosenwald Schools. And these were extraordinary schools, which you'll hear from our other guests today, that followed particular plans that the people at Sears came up with that were really easy on the eyes in terms of the color scheme and the windows and bright and cheery places, usually two-room, sometimes three-room schools. And they had a number of plans. In fact, the one we have in Mars Hill, which is the only surviving Rosenwald school in Western North Carolina, is plan number 20.
These schools, as you say, there was a kind of a matching grant. I think 50%, right, was put up by the foundation.
A little bit less than that. The school district would put up about a third, and then the people from the community would too. And often these people didn't have great means, and they'd put in small amounts of money, whatever they could, and the African Americans and the parents and so on, and they would put in a lot of labor too in some of the materials. And so it was a joint, and this was Rosenwald's idea, is that everyone had buy-in to it. And he was very strict about it. If he's going to give the money, then it had to be done right.
First school is built in Alabama, 800 in North Carolina. Do you happen to know where North Carolina is in terms of the number of schools percentage? I mean, was that a fairly high percentage of the schools that were built?
From what we understand, it's the most of any state. There were 5,300 of them built in the former Confederacy. And what we think of as true Rosenwald schools that got the funding through the foundation and so on, that most of them were built here. There's not very many that survive. There are some. And we have the only one in Mars Hill that is surviving in Western North Carolina. And you'll hear later, there's a process for rehabilitation of that school. After it was built in 1928 and went until 1965, with the Civil Rights Act, so there was no need for it anymore. Once the schools were integrated, there was no need for that segregated school.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the effort to rehabilitate that school, the only remaining Rosenwald school in Western North Carolina. And joining us now to talk about that is Mars Hill Anderson Rosenwald School, which is what it's called, the Mars Hill Anderson Rosenwald School. Willa Wyatt is leading the effort to save the school. Hello, Willa.
Hello.
Also joining us is a former student of the school, Fatima Shabazz. Fatima, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Willa, tell us a little bit about the rehabilitation effort. What do you have there, and what's going on? What are you doing to rebuild or remake the school?
Okay, what we have is basically the shell of a building. Our building has been used since it closed for being a school. It was used as a community center for the Long Ridge community. Then it's been used as a recreational center. And the last thing it was used for was a burly tobacco barn.
Wow.
So it's been used for lots of different purposes. So in 2010, when we began the efforts to rehabilitate the building, several folks have been working. We've had a new roof that's put on the building. The architect has given us an estimation of $150,000. To completely rehabilitate the building. So one of the biggest expense is for the windows. That's a classic part of a Rosenwald design, is the bank of windows. And our windows are going to have to be built, made individual windows. We have 10 of them, and it is estimated that they will cost between $750 and $800 a piece.
Wow. Let me ask Fatima, I want to stop you right there and talk about those windows and the experience of being in that school, because you attended the school.
Yes.
Tell me about that experience and what part those windows played in it.
Oh, thank you for asking. Light, lots of light, bright rooms, which helped with the mindset of the children to be in a space where there was a lot of light coming in. And we had that. I do remember the windows. They were big windows. And I'm thinking that when the windows were in design process, that was the thought that they had, since there was no electric lamps and things of that nature we could plug in, a light came naturally through those windows.
We heard about the importance of education, certainly that Booker T. Washington placed on education. And Fatima, your mother actually taught at the school, right?
That is absolutely correct. When she completed her teacher's education, and my dad is from Yancey County, and his family initially moved to Mars Hill, so he was aware of the situation with the school at that time. And when she graduated from college with her teacher's master's, she needed a job, and he knew a place that needed a teacher. So that's happened. Quite easy for her, and she was there. She was my first teacher, and several people here in Asheville, she was their first teacher.
And one of the things that meant is that you would go to school with your mother and have to pick up other teachers as well, right?
Yes, I did. We had our process in the mornings, getting up early before day, and you didn't leave home without eating breakfast, and being a girl, that meant cooking it as well. So we did that, and she would pick up Mrs. Frances Owens here in Asheville, who had Miss Owens' family had a little store underneath their house, and we did too as well. But Miss Owens would always bring me a little carton of chocolate milk every morning, and that would be my ride into Mars Hill. By the time we got to school, I was good. So that's a memory I will always remember.
You ate well, and you learned to cook well. And I guess, what's the experience of being, I guess, just in the car with other teachers? I mean, again, if this notion of education is really important, it's hard for you. Whatever thoughts you may have had, I guess, had no space in a car full of teachers, right?
Well, it was just the two of them, and my mom and Mrs. Owens. Mm. They were very flexible in the car, but once we got into school, it was business. And I had no special treatment, probably got less special treatment because of that. But education for them, as I remember, was pertinent. Yeah. That each child was focused on and time was taken. We had a process once we got in school where we had devotion. It was every single morning. And we each had to learn a scripture to recite and pledge to the allegiance of the flag and sing a song. And that's how our days would start each morning.
Well, and I guess those big windows also played a part in school performances, didn't they?
They did, which was my treat for being there. I loved the and that was a big part of my mom. She was a fantastic musician and artist. But her view, in addition to the normal education, like reading, writing, arithmetic, things of that nature, was the arts. And so together they would have us learn lines of characters, make our own costumes, stand on stage and recite our parts and act out.
With a natural background. You know, Willow Wyatt, Fatima's talking about being in that school toward the end of its function as a school. It is called the Mars Hill Anderson Rosenwald School, which is a big name, but that Anderson is a very important part of the school's history. Tell us about that.
Yes, it is. The school, as it was originally built, was the Mars Hill Colored School. And in July of 1959, the school board in Madison County Schools made the decision that the school needed a name that would add more prestige and dignity, and they asked the local school committeeman to come up with the name. And over a period of time, the school committeeman came up with the name Anderson Elementary, and that was to honor the memory of Joe Anderson, a young slave that was grew up in the Mars Hill community. And it remained the Anderson School until it closed in at the end of the school year, 65.
Right. There's a story about Mr. Anderson's relationship to the school. He's kind of played a vital role in the school being built. Is that right?
He had connections with Mars Hill University, Mars Hill College at the time, and his family members would have been instrumental in getting this school built, because this school was not built until 1928, and that was years and years and years, a long time after Joe Anderson's death. But it was his family that would have had some historical presence in the school.
Fatima, this is a kind of an interesting question if you think it through, because you're talking very fondly about your memories of the school, being there with your mother and all the great things that happened to you. Yet in another way, these schools are a monument to, in some ways, a blight on our history as Americans. It is a monument to Jim Crow and segregation. Where do you place all that? I mean, how did you, you know, you were a young girl growing up having a fine education and a warm experience in a wonderful school. And I wonder how you see that now.
Thank you for asking. Actually, as a child, none of that was in my mindset. It was not a part of my consciousness or my environment. I was aware, however, because we lived in Nashville, so we drove at least 45 minutes each morning. We didn't have 1923 or any of that happening. So living in Nashville, I experienced things as a child around my parents. But when we were in Mars Hill in that school, it was a whole different environment. We were not taught to fear any people because they didn't look like us. Any of that was a part of our normal day. We were given opportunity to learn how to be better people and to get along with each other, to be creative, use our minds, use nature. That was the focus. So they didn't spend time saying, well, you know, we didn't go into any of that. So personally, I didn't have it, but I knew about it because we lived in Asheville, so I experienced it, and I was not happy about it.
Les Raker, tell us about that. Mars Hill does play a role in the construction of this particular school. Am I right?
Well, it does. We have Mars Hill University has a long history of its being a very open community. It was a place where newly emancipated slaves and returning Union soldiers were harbored, where it was forward-looking, and it was founded in 1859. So after the war, it was a kind of a giving place, and it was a kind of unusual for the rest of the South. So Joseph Anderson, as was mentioned, was someone who was a slave who was of one of the original trustees of the school. And so his story is woven into this story.
Willa Wyatt, what will happen to when you rehabilitate this school? What does it become?
Our plan is for it to become a community center again and an interpretive museum. We are identifying how our place will matter to significant groups in Madison County. We want it to be open every day, but it will also, we're so grateful in that all the material that's in the Rural Heritage Museum at this time will be given to us to have on display in the school. It's going to be a building, as I said, that's open to the public, but an interpretive museum where folks can come and learn about Black history as it related to education in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Western North Carolina.
And Les, can you tell us what is in the exhibit and what artifacts we'd see if we visit the Rural Heritage Museum now?
Yes, I'd be glad to. When you come into the museum, we have a specially produced video where we have several of the alumni of the school greet you and talk to you a little bit about their experiences there and encourage you to move on through the exhibition. Then you're greeted then by several large didactic panels that talk about Julius Rosenwald and Booker T. Washington. We have artifacts from the school that were excavated, as Willa and her committee have been doing excavation and rehabilitation. And so we have the original blackboard. We have a window frame. We have a number of things from the school. It was heated with coal, and we have some coal, actually, they found at the site. A number of things from the school. And then we have some things that are like what was used there. The committee really helped us find things, desks and other things that would have been used in the school that haven't survived all these years.
Fatima, go ahead.
Toward the end of the exhibition, we have a legacy section. And one of the things I do want to emphasize is that education was terrible for African Americans before these schools were built after the Civil War. These schools gave hope, and they often called schools of hope. And out of this came a lot of people, and you heard it in Fatima's voice, a lot of people who became quite successful and got PhDs and went on to wonderful lives of leadership because of going to those schools. And that's what we try to present here. We have two more videos that are also continuously looping in the exhibition. And actually, the school had a privy, an outdoor privy, and it was reconstructed just for our exhibition. So you can come inside and see the privy. That'll be placed on site after the show.
Fatima, I know before your mother passed away, you took her back to the school for another look. Tell us about that.
Oh, my goodness. How'd you know that? Yes, I did. excuse me. My mom she would often talk about her experiences at the school, and of course people would come through to see her, visit her when she was in the nursing home. But we had an opportunity to take her and my dad actually to the school, and I had a chance to take pictures of her in front of the school, and for me to watch her experience that moment was quite filling from my heart.
Fatima Shahbaz, a former student of the Mars Hill Rosenwald School, thank you, as well as Willa Wyatt, who leads the effort to rehabilitate that school, and Les Raker, the director of the Rural Heritage Museum at Mars Hill University. The exhibit, Our Story, This Place, will be open until February 28th. Thank you all for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Just ahead, a collection of short stories sparked by other stories told at the bar. Stay tuned.